This episode is brought to you by NordVPN. Listen up, nerds. No. Good evening, Mr. and Mrs. America, from border to border and coast to coast and all the ships at sea.
What?
Hello, friends. Do you have a computer? Of course you do, because it's not 1987. Hell, you're listening to this on some kind of computer right now. But do you have a VPN?
Oh,
what's a VPN, you ask? Well, my friend, a VPN is a virtual private network and it offers two key benefits: enhanced privacy and security online. But VPNs do a lot more than that. VPNs shield your IP address, change your browsing location, and make online life easier. It's all about safety and security, my friends. But like everything else in life, it's also about watching TV. Don't let your paid subscriptions go to waste. I use NordVPN to access my home content while I'm traveling. Wink, wink. Plus, secure your connection on public Wi-Fi in airports, hotels, cafes, anywhere you go when you're traveling. There's over 6,300 servers in 111 countries, and you can find a nearby server for the best VPN speeds. NordVPN is easy to use. Connect with one click or enable auto-connect for zero-click protection. And it's got amazing speed. NordVPN is one of the fastest VPNs out there. And with just one NordVPN account, you can use it on 6 devices. It supports every major platform: Windows, Android, iOS, macOS, Linux, even Android TV. I think those are all real. Don't miss out on all the awesome benefits for using a VPN. Go to nordvpn.com/ifanboy today for a risk-free 30-day money-back guarantee. The link's in the show notes. Once again, that's nordvpn.com/ifanboy.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. You ever feel like you really need to get something off your chest? This is like a real thing. Like, if you're mad, if you're upset, if there's something going on, like there's often for me an idea. Maybe it's a wrong. Maybe it's a moment. It's an injustice. It's something that just you keep going on and on, over and over in your mind about it, and like that can create anger and resentment or shame, whatever it is. And very often, I have found, I am not a therapist, I have found that when you let it out, when you give it voice, when you say it out loud, sometimes it makes you feel better because you've expressed it. And sometimes it makes you realize like, oh, this is not a big deal, but it's been stuck in my head. So you give voice to those things, and it can make you feel a lot better. And shock of all shocks, therapy is one of those things that can help you do that. It can help you be able to say those things in a place where you don't need to worry about the repercussions of it, work your way through it, figure out coping skills, how to get around it, you know, find ways to deal with that stuff instead of letting it fester. If you are thinking of starting therapy, if anything I said sounds familiar, you're like, oh, maybe my life would be a little better if I could deal with that kind of thing, you should give BetterHelp a try. It's fully online. It is convenient, flexible. It is suited to your schedule. That's the idea. That's what they're going for. You can fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. That's a big deal. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. That personal connection, I believe, to be super important. Again, I'm not a professional. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/ifanboy today. You get 10% off your first month. That is BetterHelp, HELP.com/ifanboy.
You are listening to the iFanboy Pick of the Week podcast, episode 254, brought to you by New York Comic Con, Comedy Central, Discount Comic Book Service, and iFanboy listeners like you.
I know a spell that would make you well. Right about love, it could be in any tense, but it must make sense. Forget that you are sick. Write about love, it could be in any form. Hide it to me in the morning. I hate my job, I'm working way too much.
Welcome to the iFanboy.com Pick of the Week podcast, episode 254. My name is Connor Kilpatrick, and I'm here with Ron Richards.
I showed up.
And sitting in for a suddenly debilitatingly sick Josh Flanagan is our very own Tom Caters.
I got nothing else to do. It means I get to sleep indoors one night this week.
So Josh came down with a cold and wasn't feeling very well, so Tom was gracious enough to you know, make a gap in your busy schedule to join us.
Yeah, I moved some stuff around. I moved some of my staring at the wall time to tomorrow. And,
You juggled some of that.
I'm juggling the starting of my glass and stuff, and it's working out good.
The DVR is recording my shows. I'll watch them later. You know, this is, if you're counting at home or playing along, this is the third time that Josh has not been on the show when he's had the pick of the week. So
you keep these arcane stats about the show. You know, that's like,
last time it happened, I also guessed it on the show.
And last time it happened, the Cubs happened to have beat the Cardinals, and it was on a freak triple play in the eighth inning, which never happened before. Oh, God. Anyway.
We are at fanboy.com. We like comics. We read comics every week. We read a bunch of comics, or like this week, a little bit of comics. One of us picks the best one, writes about it on the website, talk about it in the podcast, along with other books of the week, other topics of interest. And before we get to the show, two things. One, if you're looking forward to New York Comic Con news about iFanboy, then you'll hear that at the end of the show. So stay tuned. The end of it. And two, this is a review show, so there'll be spoilers. If you haven't read your books yet, pause the show, read your books, come back. Things will be much more harmonious for all of us. Now, Josh had to pick, but he's sick, so I'm just going to read his pick of the week review.
Excellent.
No. His pick was Action Comics 893 from writer Paul Cornell, artist Sean Chen. This is the third issue of Paul Cornell's run on Action Comics starring Lex Luthor. And fortuitous that you're here, Tom, because the main attraction for this issue was Gorilla Grodd.
It was great. It's fortunate that two of us read this thing and enjoyed it.
So thank God. That's because I didn't read it.
Thank God that some of us read it. Otherwise, it would have been an awkward beginning to it. But the main attraction was Gorilla Grodd was the villain of the month for Lex Luthor to fight this month. And it was awesome. The Sean Chen art was great. I could watch him draw Gorilla Grodd again and again and again. And Cornell does such a good job with these villains.
Yes.
They are sort of ludicrous in certain ways. Like Lex Luthor he's ridiculous. And that sort of ridiculousness, his hubris and all that comes out in like everything that he does all the time, which sometimes is funny and sometimes it's creepy. And sometimes
he dials up each villain's thing a little bit, which is nice. It's a little bit over the top, but it's in a good way, in a funny way. I mean, in this, you know more about Gorilla Grodd than I do, I'm assuming, and I wasn't aware that he liked to eat brains.
Well, he's been much more bloodthirsty. Back in the day, you never see him taste anybody.
In the 60s, he didn't eat brains?
Silver Age sensibilities, right?
He never bit anyone. He showed no interest in eating humans, but since John's reintroduced him, he became a bit more bloodthirsty. But this would be the first time that we've seen him eat brains to gain knowledge. But it fits, you know? Go with it.
In this issue, Ron, so you know, Lex Luthor is off searching for the power behind the Black Lantern ring. And
thank God he told me, because I was on the edge of my seat. I needed to know what he was doing.
He thinks it's in the jungle, so he goes there and he's confronted by Gorilla Grodd's army. And we see Gorilla Grodd watching Lex's party as they troop through the jungle, and he goes into this room that's full of jars of brains, and he pulls one off the shelf that is one of Lex Luthor's ex-employees, and he eats the brain, hoping to gain the knowledge of what this employee knew about Lex Luthor. And then he attacks Lex Luthor's party with a giant spoon.
Yeah.
His biggest combat spoon. You see the panel was on iFanboy's Best Panels of the Week feature. He's going to eat his brains with a big giant combat spoon. And it was pretty awesome.
He decapitates someone with the spoon.
Yes.
Which was pretty sweet.
He decapitated Lex Luthor, turned out to be a robot. He stuffed the head in the mouth and the head blew up. He then captured the Lois Lane robot that is Lex's companion, and which is awesome in its own way. And tried to eat her brains, but she was a robot. It was a lot of brain eating. It was over the top, but very, very, very funny. Paul Cornell is really having fun writing this.
If it was over the top, I mean, does it fit in the Superman universe? I mean, like but all right.
It's like everyone's not like just one little bit, and it's fine.
It's not like the beginning to Superman 3. Ridiculous, you know, where people are falling in, you know, manholes and stuff.
That was wonderfully choreographed.
It was wonderfully choreographed.
The guy looking at the girl, he's painting the line of the road. The line goes weird, so the car follows the line.
I mean, it's all the stuff that happens in it, all the things he's done with the villains. They're all parts of the villain. He's not adding anything to them that isn't already apparent. He's just sort of dialing it up, and then putting them against each other. Because you don't see, you know, it's very much become Luther fighting a different villain every month, which has been a lot of fun because you see Luther have to use all of his cunning to get past all these different villains who all have their own weird, you know, idiosyncrasies that that I think most modern writers have a tendency to tone that stuff down, and Cornell seems to be instead like amping it up.
He embraces their weirdness. You know, it's very much in the sense that we always say you got to have fun with these characters and enjoy them for the strange things that they do. And you can tell Cornell really enjoys. I mean, Gorilla Grodd is a giant talking super intelligent gorilla, and he's you know it's ridiculous at its core. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So having him eat brains to gain the knowledge in the brains is not that strange.
Yeah. I'm sure there's a Gorilla Grodd fan who's like, I'm sorry, but an ape of science would not believe that you can gain knowledge from eating brains.
he's using his telepathic powers. He just likes the taste.
He just likes the taste. It could totally be that. That goes along with it.
So wait a minute. So Superman 3 was the one with Richard Pryor, right?
Yes.
And that was the one with the evil Superman in the bar?
Awesome! I love Superman.
That as a kid, that scene freaked me out when he's with.
It was scary. Yeah.
Oh yeah, so
when he's flicking the peanuts at
when he's flicking the nuts at the mirror, like oh god, it was like oh I want to watch that now. This was the issue with the Chloe backup, right?
Yeah,
Jimmy
well, that's the
Olsen
part.
Backup.
Well,
yeah,
Jimmy
one thing
Olsen.
We should mention
backup.
Before that is the final page of the main story is revealed. Lex is actually killed by Gorilla Grodd.
Really.
And he stands over his body, you know, in that way that you do, you know you see in movies where the dead spirit stands up, and there is death from Sandman. So this is the first instance we have of the Vertigo.
Wow,
DC.
Bob Harris has been in the job for a week, and they got a Vertigo crossover already.
Yeah, it's happening.
Wow, what's next, Swamp Thing?
The page was just loose in the comic too; like they added it at the last minute,
exactly.
Just sort of slid in there.
It was a cut and paste job from. Chris Bocciolo issue. And the backup story was the Nick Spencer, Rising Star Nick Spencer, Jimmy Olsen backup story, which co-stars Chloe Sullivan from Smallville. So you've got two firsts here. You got a Chloe and a death appearance.
So is the backup, so I probably should have read this for the Chloe, because as Connor, as you can attest, I'm fascinated with Chloe and Smallville and her role, and my prediction that her death on Smallville is what will be the catalyst to have Clark become Superman. Which hasn't happened yet, but so is it like
US fan fiction, Ron?
Yeah. Oh, that's the line between fan fiction and reality.
Yeah, exactly.
So is this Chloe like now continuity, or is it as a kid?
No, it's now. She's an adult. She is Jimmy's girlfriend in the beginning. Breaks up with him, and that's where the story starts.
Jimmy died on Smallville, didn't he?
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is a waste. I mean, the Jimmy story is a perfect complement to the Lex Luthor story, because Nick Spencer kind of does the same thing with Jimmy Olsen. You know, Jimmy Olsen's not Robin or Kid Flash. He's not going to become Superman at some point. He's Superman's pal.
Right.
You know, which is a totally different, weirder thing.
That's a weird...
Like him and Superman, like, discuss strategy and how to handle situations and, like...
And that watch.
And
he's
Jimmy's
like Hank.
Yeah. Jimmy's really just like a normal dude in a world filled with all kinds of crazy stuff, but instead of doing the rational thing and running away from crazy stuff, he just kind of like I'm just gonna run right into it, you know. And so he amps up that portion of Jimmy Olsen that Jimmy Olsen gets in all kinds of crazy things that happen to him, but Jimmy Olsen's still a very recognizable character who speaks very much like a guy in his 20s. And who happens to be friends with Superman and has girl troubles and gets in trouble for playing video games too much.
Wants to play the Superman video game because he's in it.
that's cool.
But it's just a panel of him yelling, "Help me, Superman, help me."
I'm helpless without you.
That's clever.
I thought it was really well done. And I love Jimmy Olsen. I love old Jimmy Olsen stories. And this is a really great modern update of the really great Jimmy stuff before they just made him the guy who just kind of hung around in the background.
Yeah.
Now, Ron, if you have the DC app, you can read it for free.
Oh, okay, cool. Well, I don't, so there you go.
All right, well, I still think you should get the issue. I think you might like it.
Okay, maybe I'll check it out. Who knows? But,
who knows?
I'm just pissed.
That's a no.
I'm just
That's a no. Just say no. Just own it.
Yeah, I might sticking around doing it. Yeah, I don't know.
I'm just pissed that Chloe's not dead in continuity. That sucks.
She's going to be Dr. Fate, I think, in the show. But let's
talk. Really? You think so?
That's my theory, anyway. Chew number 14 from John Layman and Rob Guillory continues to be so fantastic and original.
The story for Chew is becoming less about the storyline and more about how good can Rob Guillory get.
Yep.
Like the art in this, and especially in this was a lot of, and I don't know if so it lists that Steven Struble, listen to this. So it says drawn and colored by Rob Guillory, color assist by Steven Struble with assistance from Chris Finoglio. So Steven is assisting Rob in the colors, and Chris is assisting Steven with the assisting of the. Oh, that's crazy. But I thought the colors on this were like the red tone for the flashbacks for when Chew takes a taste of tasted the people's blood to see what had happened. I thought that was a great effect. I thought the scene in the movie theater between the guy with the beard and the not Sam Jackson guy, the fact that it was in black and white was great.
The Walking Dead.
Well, I was gonna say those are the two things I want to notice. Did you notice that? So then the movie theater and they're watching The Walking Dead, which is cool. But then did you notice the next page, his jacket, what the name tag on his jacket is?
Oh, Hollis Mason.
Yeah. So now I'm like, crap, how many little Easter eggs have been in this book that I've never noticed before?
I've definitely found myself now looking at all the little things in the background of this book that I used to not. Like when there's that scene with where he's casing the office and there's boxes everywhere with labels and things. I read all those labels. I read all the I'm reading everything now.
Yeah, they got you. like all the books on the bookshelves and stuff like that. Like now that I see that there's a little Easter egg, I want to go back and read every issue to see if it was there. You know, how much has been there that I haven't noticed. You know. So.
You just want to see if your name is in it somewhere.
No. Yeah, I'm in a panel.
Ron's in the investment files, not porn.
Yeah, I noticed that too. That was pretty cool. Yeah.
That's how I labeled mine, not porn. Yeah. Everything that's not porn in my house is not labeled that way.
I liked how, on the wall, the guy had his GED and stuff. These new little Easter eggs that make it so much fun. I don't know. But the book is just so good all the time. But
the story is still really compelling. I like the twist of, Tony Chu's found the girl and they're really happy and they're having a really healthy relationship. And then she finds the finger in his freezer.
Yep.
Which she doesn't realize is evidence in a case, but. Is creepy because you don't want to be in someone's house, open it up, and find a body part in the freezer.
That can ruin things.
Yep.
Yeah. So they were finding ways to keep it very interesting and always, keeping it unsettled, and no one's ever really truly happy, which isn't you need to do in a long term story. But just a fantastic book.
Yeah.
I'm so happy this book's successful.
So you gotta
keep your body parts in a separate refrigerator.
Exactly. She's coming over in a lockbox. Yeah. Exactly. There.
Lockbox right by the lie.
Yeah.
The
lie.
Yikes.
It just got weird.
Hey, listen. I'm not from personal experience, just from research.
Oh, hey.
Hey.
So am I the only one still reading Captain America?
No, I'm still hanging on.
Okay.
I jumped off a while ago.
Okay, yeah. And I know Josh, if he was here, he would be saying, I think he's either bailed or was about to bail. Here's the thing. Well, I had two thoughts about this. Number one, I thought the art started out fine.
There's two inkers on it.
Yeah, and it just took a left turn and deteriorated.
And three colorists.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there was the one page where he pulls off Zemo's mask, and you see the whole disfigured, and you turn the page, and it's like a comical disfigured. Like it was such a the fact that they changed at that point in that scene, it was so bad. And again, just put Mitch Breitweiser on this book.
Yep.
It's Marvel. It's staring you right in the face. Just that issue was perfect. But that said, and not to give a too much of a plug or a nod to one of our other podcasts over on iFanboy, but I was listening to Brubaker on Word Balloon and hear him talk about the upcoming trial of Bucky and how this is I'm actually really excited now because that sounds really good because it feel like that's the story that they should have gotten to way sooner than this.
I feel like is this going to be the point? I'm still waiting for the point. The point of having him be Captain America.
As Brubaker explained, was he said he thinks it's kind of funny how he just brought Bucky back and made him the new Captain America, and nobody's ever been like, wait a minute, you blew up like half of Philadelphia and you committed these atrocities. How can he get away with that? Like no one in the Marvel Universe has questioned it. And the idea of exposing that Captain America is Bucky as well as a former Soviet assassin, and now is going to be put on trial, is genius. It's like that's great. Like that's that's the story I want to read. And maybe he's got a reason for it to have taken this long to get there, but that's where he should have been going.
Listen, we love second acts in America.
Yeah, it's true.
What about redemption?
Yeah.
What about all those SHIELD helicarrier pilots that steered the ships into the ground?
Exactly. What about them?
Where are those guys?
Yeah. But so this Zemo storyline, I mean, I love Zemo, and I didn't think this was awful, this past storyline, but hopefully
it started
next...
off really, really strong, yeah. And it just got conventional by the end.
Well, yeah, the thing is, it started off, I mean, goes back to Zemo in disguise, taking his mask off to reveal that he's still got the mask on.
Yes, that was awesome.
That was great. But so hopefully the next storyline is good and worth it, because I find myself compelled to read it, and I was the last person on board for it, you know. So
Zemo's like one of those Russian dolls that keeps taking masks off until finally you find a tiny little pinhead.
I'm telling you, that was great when he takes the latex mask off and he's got the purple mask under it with the little crown. It's like, how does that work? Oh, that was great. But if they put Breitweiser on this or get the art in place, and then if this trial story is good, then it could turn it around. I'm still hopeful, so I don't know.
Tom, I almost bought Justice Society because the description seemed interesting, but I ended up not doing it.
That's why I did buy it. And it
two peas in a pod.
It was very because the description, it's Obsidian and Alan Scott, father and son, dealing with issues, and James Robinson is writing it, and you think, oh, this should be kind of interesting. This would be, some real meat to this story, because Alan Scott is a historically poor parent.
As all superheroes are.
He's especially bad. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and Obsidian is a messed up son. So you'd think reading the story, there'd be a lot of interesting discussion between the two characters about their history. And it's really just 75% a really long discussion about what happened in the previous storyline, like explaining what happened, which is not great, because I dropped that story because I didn't like what was going on. I thought it was kind of boring, and I was like, oh, this is 75% confirmation of my previous gut feeling about what I was reading. And I kept waiting for it to get to the part where Alan Scott and Obsidian would have some sort of real discussion about, feelings, and it never happened. And it just was really, I was really disappointed in it. I was like, oh God, this description sounded so awesome. It seemed like this could not fail, and it failed a lot. So I was like, it seemed like two strangers talking to each other that someone had told them beforehand. You are playing a father, and you're playing a son, and
it's like an acting exercise.
Yeah, it was like a
hello,
bad
dad.
I've seen lots of bad improv. It was like, it was really disappointing. The art was pretty good by Jesus Marino.
He's really good.
He did really good art. I just wish the story would have been meatier. It was an epilogue to the previous story, but usually the epilogues are cool, because it's like the moment where everyone sort of gathers.
Decompression moment. Yeah, that's usually the best part.
And it just didn't get there. And so I was disappointed, because I really love the Justice Society. And I keep picking it up every once in a while, like thinking, oh, I can get back into it. And I just...
We had that great John's, Eaglesham run, right? That was so good, and then Willingham Sturgis, and then sounds like, but I see Guggenheim's gonna be writing it, and Scott Collins is gonna be doing the art. I mean, is that, could they be getting back to what's good about the JSA, or
it could be? I mean, I think you're not gonna have anybody who's gonna write it the same as John's,
yeah,
because a lot of people would say that John's version at times was mawkish, and overly sentimental. I enjoyed that portion of it, but I could see why people would think it is. And I think you need to be a very deft writer to sort of ride that line of overly sentimental. And I don't think a lot of people quite have the chops to do it correctly. I would just want action and people talking to each other like they actually know each other. And it,
I don't know who's in charge at DC right now, but their job one should be fix the JLA, and job two should be fix the JSA.
Yep, agree. Those should be flagship books. Absolutely. Yep. Yeah.
So whoever's in charge, figure out that org chart.
Yeah.
And someone make a decision, because it's really sad what's happened to those two. I mean, those are the two flagship areas.
Yeah.
I just checked my email. I'm in charge.
Oh all right, Tom. Oh. Finally, we're gonna turn the ship around.
Yeah. All right. Here we go.
Oh man, I wouldn't be surprised. But so anyway, well, my pick of the week this week was 1 Month to Live, number 5, and I suggested it in our light week post on iFanboy on Tuesday. Did either of you pick this up?
No, it wasn't the final issue of a miniseries. Maybe.
You didn't listen to me then, because you missed out on, even if you didn't read this miniseries, Remender wrote, McKelvey drew, so it's like right, like, you know, a pairing that I never even would have thought of, two of my favorite creators, and they put out probably one of the most emotional, powerful, straight-laced Marvel Universe superhero kind of comics I've read in a long time, and it was great. It was great. Get a full page, splash page by McKelvey of the Avengers, Captain America, Iron Man, Spider-Man, Thor, Wolverine, that was beautiful. And this basically wraps up this 5-issue kind of little event about this poor guy who gets cancer and has 1 month to live and gets powers and becomes a superhero. And this whole issue is him, you know, him and his wife and their niece, who they've kind of adopted, kind of coming to terms with him and his life and what to do after he's gone. And there's a standoff in his neighborhood and a villain comes in and he deals with them, and then the Avengers come in and get his back and they have him join the Avengers, and then he dies, and it was emotional. It was rough. I was tearing up, but it was great. It was so good. It totally paid off. This was the sleeper pick for me for this month, if you ask me. If you weren't reading 1 Month to Live, definitely get the trade when it comes out, because they I don't know where this came from. It seemed Steve Wacker edited it, and he wrote in the back of on the letters page of every issue. It seems like this is a fairly personal project, but they killed it, if you ask me. So, yeah.
Killed it and him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Poor choice of words. But man, I got to tell you, McKelvey drawing the Avengers, not bad, not bad, not too shabby. Seriously, like we always talk about it. We've seen him, you know, with Phonogram and Suburban Grammar, he draws like regular people, and we've seen him do some stuff with the X-Men, but even then, like, his last X-Men story had Cyclops in a suit the whole story, you know, like, so
but as he should.
Yeah, exactly. It looked great. Great haircut too.
He's just the CEO of the X-Men, you know? Yeah.
But his Avengers looked great. Looked really good. So
did you buy the pages, Ron?
Not yet. But maybe. <We'll see. laughs> Tempted. But but yeah, it was good. And Remender wrote the hell out of it. So good job on both of them. So
excellent.
Yeah, my pick of the week, hands down, easily. Both Rick Remender and Jamie McKelvey will be at the New York Comic Con, which is coming up this weekend. October 8th through the 10th. Oh my God, it's less than a week away. At the Jacob Javits Center is the New York Comic Con, the East Coast's biggest and most exciting pop culture convention. You know, there's only one New York Comic Con this year, and for the first time, they're taking over the entire Jacob Javits Center, which, if you're from New York, you know, that's no small feat. I got it right, finally. I screwed that up last week. So they got some great guests, including McKelvey and Remender, and McKelvey's longtime creative partner, Kieran Gillen, will be there. But also will be some other guys like Stan Lee, John Romita Sr., John Romita Jr., Brian Michael Bendis, Jeff Johns, Joe Quesada, Jim Lee, Todd McFarlane, fan favorite J. Michael Straczynski, and also some great movie and TV stars like Bruce Campbell, Katie Sackhoff, and a ton more guests. So pretty much, if you have any sort of fringe genre geeky interest, someone will be there that will make you happy. So I guarantee you. They're still making tons of announcements about cool stuff that's going on. So definitely, you don't want to miss out. Go to their website to find out all the cool stuff that's going on at the show. This year, they've got a really new section that I know, Tom, you're going to enjoy. This is going to be your favorite part of the con, Tom, I think.
All right.
It's called the Cult Yard.
Yeah, I love cults.
And the Cult Yard is an oasis of pop, surreal, street art, and other subcultural art movements smack dab in the middle of New York Comic Con. Trust me, this isn't going to be like anything you've seen at New York Comic Con before. It's more than just a few aisles of toys and art. It's a community and interactive feel where attendees can stroll through mini galleries, meet artists, experience live art, and hang out and enjoy the atmosphere in the Cult Yard Lounge. It sounds bohemian.
It's going to be hippie chicks walking around.
It's going to be like Paris in the 1880s.
You really need to emphasize that meet artists doesn't mean that you meet them. It's meet spelled M-E-A-T. Like people... I mean, we're talking about cutting edge
meat artists.
Even better.
Meat artists. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. So definitely going to want to check out the Cult Yard if you're going to the show. If you haven't gone, if you're not planning on going to the show, you haven't bought tickets yet, there's still time. It's, you got less than a week, but you can still get your tickets. So make sure you go to NewYorkComicCon.com and order your tickets now. So it's this Saturday, this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, October 8th, 9th, and 10th at Jacob Javits Center. NewYorkComicCon.com has got all the information, all the directions, everything you need to know. And stay tuned because later on in the show, we're going to talk about iFanboy at New York Comic Con, where you can find us, where our booth is, various things, the panels we're not on, parties, things like that. So go to NewYorkComicCon.com. Stay tuned for later in the show. It's going to be great. I'm excited. It should be a fun time. So, Savage Dragon number 164.
Savage Dragon still coming out.
Yeah, it is coming out. It's awesome. Cool. This is the second issue of the Emperor Dragon storyline, where if anyone doesn't know Savage Dragon's origin, originally when the first miniseries came out, he's found burning in the field, no memory of who he was, that sort of thing. Well, turns out he was a evil emperor of an alien race that was coming to take over Earth, and now his memory is back, and he knows who he is. He's this evil emperor, and he's just fucking shit up. And this issue, he faces off against Vanguard, excuse me, who's the long... Vanguard is the long-standing alien kind of watcher kind of character that Larson created way, way back when the series first started, and they're fighting over teleporting capability, and this is just a ton of fun, but what I noticed was Larson puts in neat little comic book process things that, unless you're really paying attention, you almost don't notice. It's so subtle, but like he has two scenes going on in this book where Malcolm, Dragon's son, is fighting some Vicious Circle, bad guys, and at the same time, Dragon is fighting Vanguard for this teleporting capability. And at one point in the middle of the book, it's one of those left-right situations where the left side is Dragon versus Vanguard, the right side is Malcolm versus the Vicious Circle people. And I just loved it. Like, I was reading, and not only that, but he had moments where dialogue was mirroring each other, where Vanguard on the left side of the page says, "What? Where?" And then on the right side of the page, a character from the Vicious Circle says, "What? Where?" Like, in the same linear kind of fashion. And he's doing these neat little experiments that are just so much, like, when I discovered it, I was like, oh, cool. Like, I don't know. Just having fun with comic books. It's good stuff. So that's why I wanted to talk about it. Yeah, exactly.
So. Well, since we're speaking of having fun with comic books, I wanted to bring up Time Masters number 3. If you haven't been reading it, sort of, it's been billed as the companion I've seen to the Return of Bruce Wayne, but I think that's a little bit unfair. I don't think you really
wait a minute, it's marketing.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you need actually to read Return of Bruce Wayne to get it. I mean, it's Rip Hunter, Booster Gold, Superman, and Green Lantern trying to find Bruce Wayne in time. And they end up in all kinds of crazy places with, like, sorcerers and tentacle demons. And it's quite a bit of fun. And it's been great to see Rip Hunter's character get built up a little bit. You see him have flashbacks to his childhood. And it's been fun. And I've always enjoyed Dan Jurgens working with Norm Ratmond, so it's been a real classic sort of adventurous.
They were on Booster Gold together, right?
Yep, it's very much a continuation from Booster Gold into Time Masters, yeah. And I've been pleasantly surprised by it. Number 3 was a little heavier on the action than the other ones were, but it still had some of the cool sort of Rip Hunter childhood moments mixed in with it, and it's been a real sort of under the radar surprise for me.
I feel like
Rip Hunter still Booster Gold's kid.
Yes.
Okay.
I feel like I missed out on the series because I love time travel stories.
There's a great scene right in the beginning of Rip Hunter as a kid with Booster Gold, his dad, hanging out with Brainiac 5. You know, talking about time travel.
Was Brainiac 5 looking down on them? And
no, he was like he was like talking to people of his own level, which I thought was kind of, you rarely see that ever written. I was like, oh,
right, yeah,
Mr. Gold, you know, he is the greatest hero that no one ever knew. So you know, just like the book was built, and I thought it was good. It was really good. It's really surprised me. So if you don't want to jump in at this point, at someday there will be a trade released of it. So
yeah, well, if they've ever finish Return of Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
Well, they just promoted the guy in charge of trades. There'll be no more trades.
Yeah, exactly. No more trades.
let's rename this block the Fun Comics block, because Avengers Prime number 3 is awesome fun.
Oh, my God, was it awesome fun.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I love these, you know, Thor, Captain America, and Iron Man thrust into Asgard fighting dragons and ogres and demons and elves and things that you don't normally see them doing, and naked Tony Stark having to talk his way out of being killed by ogres and skating on a horse.
Naked Tony Stark on a horse had me laughing, like, so much. And what's really weird is that so Bendis is writing this as he's writing the other Avengers books, and I feel like the exchange between these three characters is different in this book than in the other books.
I enjoy it more.
Yeah, I enjoyed it way more. Yeah, totally.
I often don't find the way Bendis does dialogue works really well for me in most of the Avengers books, because things have to be arranged in a certain way for it to work. But it actually worked in this one really well.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, it was great to see these three characters sort of interact that way with each other. And just when it got to the line where it was almost like, okay, we can move on to the next thing now, he would move on to the next thing. So he kind of balanced that really well. And I thought it was really great.
I mean, some of the humor was great. When Steve finds Tony and asks, why is he naked? And he's like, it's my new armor. It's see-through. And he's like, jokes, really? And the thing is that, you know, I know Bendis always does the yucks, but like, it totally worked. And like, the joke about the roller skates was great. And it was so much fun. And Alan Davis is the greatest penciler right now, I think, period. Nobody's art is so good. I mean,
he certainly puts on a clinic every time he does an issue.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's hard to discount that. He's a master.
Call him Dr. Davis.
Yeah. This is some of the best Alan Davis work I've seen in years. It's so, so good. Yeah.
Some great big panels in here when Thor gets sliced with the sword and the big his hammer goes flying. It's just great stuff. Detailed. And he does good monsters really well. So that's one of the benefits of having Alan Davis on this
book. Steve was making jokes too, which I thought was weird.
Well, because Steve's having a grand old time with swords and shields and running around.
Yeah, when Tony asked, do you know where we are? And Steve says, Reading, Pennsylvania.
You'd expect Steve to make more jokes about, like, food rationing.
Yeah.
And, like,
K-rations.
Turn off the lights. You know, like Bugs Bunny cartoons.
Yeah. And we got to see, and I know this is the older Tony Stark armor, but it's the malleable iron. You see the glove?
The best Tony Stark armor ever?
Exactly. The Tony Stark armor that's
the one that makes no sense, but is awesome.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Now I imagine as part of the fun block that Frankencastle is also fun.
Talk about fun. Well, okay, so this was I assume this is the last issue of Frankencastle in the current Punisher run. Frankencastle number 21. Remender wrote it. Dan Brereton on art. Before I get to the story, if you like you youngins out there, not to sound too old or whatever, but if you don't know the wonderfulness of Dan Brereton, you need to pick up this issue and see what it can be, and then go back and look for more stuff like Nocturnals and all that sort of stuff that he's done, because Dan Brereton is great. So good. But this basically, you know, Remender, that crazy son of a bitch did it. He turned the Punisher into a Frankenstein monster and then put everything back the way it was.
Wait a minute, you mean it all went back at the end?
Yep, now he's...
The Punisher wasn't a monster forever and ever and ever?
No, I know, can you believe it? Now he's human again, and he's back in the city, and it ends with an awesome little scene with art by Andrea Moody and Luca Malson, who I've never heard of, but with Frank returning to the city and taking out some drug dealers and leaving a message where he throws, you know, has one of the drug dealers get thrown out of a window with a little sign that says the Punisher skull and just says back. Oh, it was great.
Is Joe Quesada going to tell us that this didn't happen either?
Probably. But
he never became Frankenstein.
No, but the Frankencastle resolution made sense. It looked beautiful. It basically, you know, after the big fight with Dakin and Wolverine, Frankencastle goes back to Monster Island to heal, and he's got the Bloodstone in him, and basically he spends, you know, weeks or months on Monster Island, and it slowly takes away all the Bloodstone takes away all the Frankenstein crap and turns him back into a man. And then the monsters show up and they say, listen, you can't keep the stone. So he gives him back the stone and he just goes back to society, goes back to the world. So I mean, it made sense. It was good. So,
So Frank, you're not a Frankenstein anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was Bloodstone.
Yeah.
Bloodstone.
Yep. And, you know, and so
wacky reset button punch. Yeah,
exactly. It's the comic book's wacky reset button. And we always hear about, like, their jobs is to tell the stories and then put the characters back where the way how they found them. And that's what he totally did. And it made sense. And I've got no qualms with it. And it was a blast. It was a ton of fun.
I'm looking forward to this trade. I read the first issue, really liked it. And I don't know why I didn't get the second one. But yeah.
You're gonna like this a lot. And the Brereton art is, I mean, I don't know if you guys are as big a fan of Brereton as I am. Well, not that I'm a huge Brereton fan, but it's one of those things where I appreciate and I don't think gets enough appreciation.
I like Brereton quite a bit.
Yeah, good stuff.
The only problem is the nature of his work means he just does like one issue here or there.
Exactly.
And it would be cool to get a chunk of him just because his style is so unique that when it shows up, it like pops.
Yep.
Sometimes it's really good and sometimes it can be a little like, oh, hey, look at this. You
know? Well, I got to be honest. He drew or painted a long-haired, bearded Punisher to be quite the attractive man.
So. Ooh, hello.
Whoa!
Yeah, he was all it was all lost. He was all, you know.
Is it like in a Sawyer vein?
Roguish.
Totally.
A little cross between Sawyer and Jack, I think, because the hair was long, but the beard was there, and it was and he's got a knife, so it was good. But anyway, so those are the books that came out that we enjoyed, but a whole bunch more books came out. And you can find them all at ifanboy.com/comics. And a lot of you, well, not so many of you this week because it was a really light week for books.
It was fifth week. I didn't even realize it was a fifth week until
it was a fifth week. Oh, you're right. Yeah, that's why.
Welcome to the fifth week.
But we didn't have a fifth week event. Dun, dun, dun.
No, we just had no books come out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Now, kids, 10 years ago, we would have had 20 books come out from both publishers to fill in this week. Do you remember Girl Frenzy from DC?
There was all kinds of horrible.
Yeah, the 1 million issues. Do you remember that? Oh, God. Okay. Anyway, so, but some more books came out. Some of you read them. Some of you wrote reviews of them. And our first review from the iFanboy community is from Through the Brush, who reviewed Captain America Patriot number 2, gave the story a 5 out of 5 and the art a 5 out of 5. And at the time of recording, nobody thought this was the pick of the week. And Through the Brush says, in a week with a lot of predictably excellent books, interesting, this issue was a pleasant surprise. Little has been written about Jeff Mace, the second man to take up the mantle of Captain America between Steve Rogers' death in 1945 and his revival in Avengers number 4. Here, Mace is fleshed out to become a fully realized character. A former reporter and second-string superhero is just beginning to understand the pressures of the giant shoes he's trying to fill. His menagerie of Golden Age supporting characters is similarly well-used, serving as a reflection of both the comics and the real world of the late 1940s and continuing the overall renaissance of Marvel's Golden Age history. I'm especially delighted by Mace's coworker and friend, Mary Morgan, who becomes a superhero herself to follow in his footsteps. And the issue's surprise cliffhanger ending certainly makes me want to read more. So
I've heard lots of good things about this. I haven't read it, but I've heard people talking about it.
Yeah, it's crazy talk. It's good. Crazy talk, if you ask me.
They really are pushing those Golden Age heroes, aren't they?
They really are, which is weird. So I didn't even know.
There was a book last week that had one. What book was that? We were talking about it.
I don't know. I didn't even know Jeff Mace existed.
I don't know.
Is this the crazy guy in Brubaker's book or no? That's the 50s Cap, right?
Yes.
Right?
There's been a lot of Captain Americas.
Who knew? And we all get up in arms when Bucky takes the mantle when there's been like 19 already. Jesus. No.
Well, got to keep the propaganda machine rolling.
Just a tool of the capitalists.
That kind of talks in to get us in trouble, Tom.
this show is 100% for profit.
not for the people, not for the state.
We've given the people the means of production. Oh, my God, we have.
We really have. Oh.
We have them writing reviews.
We're the communist. No. Move on.
Poop monster reviewed Wonder Woman.
Yeah, you said it like poop monster. Like it was like the guy at the
Sunday.
Yeah, exactly.
Poop monster.
The monster truck guy.
Give a story a 3 out of 5 and the art a 2 out of 5. Pick a week percentage was 0.21%. Very little. I couldn't keep that for the whole review. My throat was going to explode. So I was just going to do it in a normal voice. Poop Monster said, in this issue of the arc, we are seeing a more grown-up Wonder Woman than the teenager she appeared to be in the first two parts of this arc. JMS has been building up the mythology around Diana in a slow manner using the Greek mythos. JMS has found one of the few easy ways to tell a good Wonder Woman story, which is to start with it from scratch. Take the original product, update all the parts while sticking to the main theme, like an Elseworlds story. The problems are the art and the pacing. Some events seem to be drawn out of multiple pages just to fill the space, which gives JMS a chance to write bad dialogue. Other times, within 3 pages, so much has happened, I had to flip back for a WTF moment. This issue had, like, 3 pencilers and 3 inkers or something like that.
Oh, really? It's already at that point?
was two pencils and three inkers. Actually, it was pretty funny because the cover, you know how they put the credits in the cover?
Yeah.
And there were 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 names. And then there's normally like three. So I saw that and I went, oh, no. Because Kramer's great, but he only did a little bit of it. And then there's another guy who did the rest of it. And the art was the big problem in this issue. The story is really good. I'm enjoying the story a lot, but the art is...
Well, at least they're putting it out on time.
Yeah, no, that's true. Unlike Superman, which is getting a fill-in issue.
Yeah.
Which I'm pissed about because I want to know what happens next. He was going to the magical land of Oz.
I just it silenced me. That was...
You remember last time? I think Tom was here last time we talked about it.
He
went to save Detroit, then he went to Oz.
Yep.
Oh, that's right.
It's been so long. Where's he going next? I feel so bad for that store in Cincinnati.
Like Cincinnati. I think it's Cincinnati.
No, you know the whole story. It was going to be in Cincinnati, but then it shipped. It got pushed back a month, and the poor retailer got the mayor to make it Superman Day, and they're going to have a parade, and he hired an actor. Now, what we don't know is whether he hired an actor to play Superman or he hired Dean Cain. It was never established whether he hired a Superman actor or not. But
I see an issue where Superman is confused by macaroni in his chili. and then he lectures somebody on it.
So when
it's too many carbs.
When the Cincinnati issue finally comes out in October, it's not even in Cincinnati. It's in a suburb. Oh, God. What a nightmare. So
yikes.
And too many carbs. That's the thing. So.
Well, he's hitting the northern part of the country. That's going to be his ongoing issue to deal with. He's going to go to Wisconsin and all cheese problems.
Stop dipping your pizza in ranch dressing, everyone.
This is wrong.
Get off my back, Superman.
It tastes good. It's
a little
so
too much rat
here.
In his cape, if you get my meaning, right?
So those are the user reviews. You can go make your own user review every week on iFanboy.com. Go to iFanboy.com/comics. Make your pull list, rate and review your books, and you write good reviews. We'll read them on the show. I want to see more people doing that because there's a lot more people listening than doing the pull list. Make some pull lists. We want to see what the listeners are.
Hey, a lot of the creators look at those pull lists. They want to know what you're pulling. So
takes 2 seconds on Monday, and it's fun.
Be heard.
It's a lot of fun. So everybody's listening should go make a pull list next Monday.
Yeah.
That's my spiel. Now, we told you about Comedy Central San Diego Comic-Con, and everybody that went there had a great time. There were some awesome panels that they threw, and this year Comedy Central is going to be at New York Comic-Con, and they're going to have another awesome block of panels for you to attend, which is very cool. In room 1A06 on Saturday, October 9th, at 6:15 p.m. is the Ugly Americans panel, where you can go behind the scenes of the animated series, featuring a sneak peek of the new season, a Q&A session, and even more. The series follows Mark Lilly, a social worker at the Department of Integration, as he helps new citizens, both human and other, adapt to the hectic life in the Big Apple. Between his stressful job, a zombie roommate, and a demon ex-girlfriend, sounds familiar, Mark's lucky if he can sneak in a few minutes of sleep. But who can sleep when there's a drop-dead gorgeous mermaid sitting at the bar? That's Ugly Americans panel 6:15 on Saturday 10/9. At 7:15, right after that, is Comedy Central Nick Swarzen's Pretend Time panel. Nick Swarzen presents a sneak peek at his new Comedy Central sketch series. Nick Swarzen's hilarious world of make-believe incorporates every reach of the imagination, from time travel accidents to the gay robot on your college campus to a pirate crew's unfortunately located treasure map. Nick's abundant personas and hysterical sketches are sure to keep you laughing. Get ready to experience Nick with a sneak peek of the series, a Q&A with Nick, and even more. And then after that...
But from what I heard, the sneak peek of the series is going to be, like, normally, like, they don't show a lot of the shows, but, like, they're going to show a lot of the show.
Really funny.
I was going to say, he's one of my favorite parts of Reno 911. He's the gay roller skater guy.
Yes, but he's also great stand-up. I love his stand-up specials. They're really funny.
Yeah, he's really good, so I'm excited about this one. So.
And then after that, at 8:15 to 8:45, Comedy Central presents a special South Park surprise. They're not really saying much, but there's going to be some exciting things that are going to happen. So if you're a South Park fan...
Yeah, you know if they're doing a panel in South Park, it's going to be worth going if you're a fan. So
yeah, they're just hinting of lots of surprises. So if you're a big fan of South Park, which many people are, you should go there and check it out.
And if you go to iFanboy.com, you can see the information about Comedy Central sponsoring a giveaway to iFanboy members. So you definitely want to check that out because you can win some really cool stuff. Which is I don't have in front of me.
There's some DVDs. There's some South Park season DVDs.
Signed posters. Like Nick Swords is going to be signed.
I'm vamping. While it loads.
I got it. And so we're going to
have Ugly American posters signed by the show cast and crew. Autographed Nick Swords and Pretend Time poster and South Park DVDs.
Yeah. So if you're a Comedy Central fan, you definitely want to become an iFanboy member, and so you're eligible for that. So
when are we giving those away?
I don't know. After the con.
Okay, after the con. So check those out at fanboy.com. But also check out comedycentral.com for more great info on these shows and all the upcoming stuff they've got going there. Yep. It's a good website, actually.
Cool. On to the emails. Our first email is from Chinese Taco from New York. That's a mixed
now, that
cultural
could be
metaphor.
Either a horrible joke about something horrible or the fact that almost every place I go to in New York where they're making Mexican food is made by Chinese cooks.
There's a new Mexican place here in San Francisco, and they have duck tacos.
That could be good.
Yeah, anyway. So Chinese Taco writes in. We're not going to question what it's about. Tom, you still with us?
Yeah.
Okay,
cool.
This one's for you, Tom. This one's for you.
All right, here we go.
In an all-out battle for the multiverse, who do you think would be the victor between Thanos and Darkseid, and why?
I don't think they would fight.
Is it Darkseid?
Darkseid.
Okay.
I think they'd hit it off. I guess if you had to have them fight.
It'd be like Data Scott Pilgrim. They'd start the fight, and they'd end up talking about where to get breakfast.
He's a nice guy.
Like, dude. Yeah. No, Darkseid's pretty cool. It's all right, guy.
I don't mind the jaw as much. It's like looking in a mirror.
Yeah, it's fine. I'd say Darkseid only because I think Thanos has a real death wish.
Yeah.
You know?
You seen her?
Quite literally. Yeah. Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, Thanos always seems to... I mean, Darkseid seems to be more... not motivated, but... Stay on point.
He stays on target.
Where Thanos gets distracted super easily.
I mean, Darkseid is running an entire planet that is a top of like the pyramid of synergy. He's got everyone working towards his one goal, which is just
anti-life.
Darkseid is Steve Jobs.
And one more thing. Here's the
the Omega effect. I think the really thing that DC's missing out on is the Darkseid administrative issue, where we find out how he runs all this stuff.
Yeah.
He takes care of sewage.
What's the bureaucracy like on Apocalypse?
Before Desaad tortures someone, he's got to get permission from, the assistant to Darkseid on behalf of torturing. He's just this guy in an office.
Darkseid needs his muffin at 10 a.m. every morning. Darkseid, you have to pick off all the chocolate chips.
Yeah, Thanos doesn't have the organization that Darkseid has. Yeah, that's a good point. So Thanos never...
Darkseid would just crush him. He's Darkseid. He's brought Superman to his knees.
I agree. But this is assuming Thanos doesn't have the Infinity Gauntlet.
Well, that changes everything.
Yeah, that changes everything.
Well, I mean, Darkseid is somebody who's really taken his hobby and made it his profession. which is pretty incredible. And
Thanos is like a failed entrepreneur. He's always trying something new, and it just keeps crashing down.
This guy just can't get a break. He's the gill of the Marvel Cosmic Universe.
Come on.
Come on. Just give Thanos a chance.
Let me kill everybody. Oh, I can do it.
I can do it, really.
This is the one, Thanos. Straightens his tie. Go get him.
Oh, God. Thanos is Gil. Oh, I love it. We just keep adding more characters to our pantheon. I love it.
If only we could get an animated deal where we could use everybody else's characters.
Oh, but different interpretations. Oh, that'd be great. Judgmental Steve Rogers. Oh, speaking of an update on Judgmental Steve Rogers, by the way. December is an all mutants, all X-Men book where Steve Rogers judges the X-Men. Swear to God, it's in previews.
Con, mutant,
stinking mutants.
So seriously, get your pre-orders in. I forgot what it's called, but it's in previews that just came out, and it's literally said Steve Rogers weighs in on the mutants. The description is hysterical.
Cyclops is one of the good ones.
Oh God,
Anchor Mute babies.
Read the next email. I'm going to find the solicitation text.
Matthias from Belgium. He says, do you feel/notice that since Robert Kirkman made his controversial statement about creator-owned work, creators themselves have begun to start working on more creator-owned work? Or more in general, do they value this work more since the beginning of the discussion? What about you guys and your listeners? What I'm trying to say is, did Robert Kirkman succeed in his quest for more creator-owned work appreciation? I don't think that's what he was going for.
I don't think it was for us.
Yeah,
no. It was for the industry. He was talking to the creators. Not
I think
us.
It was very much not for us at all. In fact, it was very much for them. I mean, his whole point was that you don't need to work for Marvel or DC to make a lot of money. That was his point. And I mean, it depends on your point of view whether it was a success or not. I think to some degrees it was, and some degrees it's not. I mean, I don't think Marvel and DC are ever going to go anywhere. So I think it's a bit of a fool's errand. But I think I've seen tons of success with Creator owned stuff. So you know, so
at the same time, his goal wasn't to bring down Marvel DC. It was just that his point was that maybe your goal shouldn't be to write other people's products. It should be to make your own products and own them.
Yeah, which I don't think is unfair.
No. Yeah. But, I mean, on the whole, there's probably not any more creator-owned work. I mean, it didn't help that right after we made the announcement, the economy went to shit. So people are probably not going to take – as many people are going to take a chance on making their own books when they can get a paycheck from Marvel and DC. But,
yeah. So.
You know, it wasn't meant for us. And not on,
no, it was with Chris. Okay, so I found it. Heroic Age X-Men number one, all right? It's in the December solicitations. As mutant kind begins to pull back from the brink of extinction, Steve Rogers joins the fight. Appraising the state of mutants today, Steve assesses the X-Men, X-Factor, the New Mutants, the Five Lights, and more from the mutant community. This 64-page Heroic Age Files book also includes considerations for the humans who have sympathized with the mutant condition.
Oh my god!
Whoa, right off the bat in the
The 64-page Heroic Files book also includes considerations for the humans who have sympathized with the mutant condition.
They really said sympathizers?
And takes aim at the worst of anti-mutant bigotry. See the world of mutants from Steve Rogers' vantage point, featuring everyone from Apocalypse to
X-23. Mutant sympathizers.
There should be a band in the Marvel Universe called Mutant Synthesizer.
it's free. You do not want to miss that in December. I cannot wait till it comes out. Oh my god, it's
gonna
be great.
To talk about it on the show when it comes out.
Oh man. Anyway.
Steve Rogers judges you.
Oh god,
those people.
Yep.
Speaking of judging, it would be good judgment to start using Discount Comic Book Service if you'd like to get your books for a healthy amount off. They have monthly specials up to 75% off, 40% off all major publishers. There's flat rate shipping of $5.95 on all U.S. orders. You can get anything that appears in previews. There's over 9,000 trade paperbacks in stock. You can go online if you're one of those people that enjoys using the internet to find out information. And you can check it out at dcbservice.com.
Excellent. DCB service is good. So, all right. Well, good times. Now we got a lot of stuff. We're going to skip the voicemails because we got a lot of stuff to talk about. But keep calling in. Leave a voicemail at 1-888-FANBOYS, 1-888-326-2697. And also email us at contact@fanboy.com. We'd love to hear from you. But important stuff to talk about before we get to New York Comic Con stuff. We've got giveaways. We're giving away the farm at ifanboy.com. If you go over there, there's a red post that was highlighting the giveaways we've been doing in all through August, September, and going to continue on into October. Our first giveaway is the free download of Warner Brothers movie 300 with extras. This is a very, very cool offer to be able to download the movie 300 with a ton of extras. Awesomeness. And our winner is the very lucky Ventura de Leon. I mispronounced that name. Ventura de Leon. There you go.
It's like a Spanish explorer.
It is. It's a classy name. So congratulations, Ventura. We'll be emailing you with information on your free download. So that's awesome.
Yeah, that was courtesy of Warner Brothers. You can download the movie now from iTunes, and they've got all kinds of free extras. And that was the free giveaway.
Good stuff. And so now our big giveaway, though, is related to New York Comic Con. We're giving away the chance to tag along with us when we go interview Stan Lee. Yes, Stan the Man Lee. This is your opportunity. Tom, you did not win, unfortunately. But
Stan Lee wants to sell you a timeshare.
But we know that not everybody could attend New York Comic Con, so we wanted to make sure that somebody who wasn't attending New York Comic Con could win something as well. So our first winner is not attending New York Comic Con, we don't think, and is the winner of some free swag that Stan's going to sign at the con for you. We don't know exactly what it's going to be, but it's going to be cool, and it's going to have Stan's signature, so that's awesome. If anything, you could sell it on eBay. And our winner of that is Brian Horton. So congratulations, Brian. You may not be going to New York Comic Con, but you still won.
It's going
to
be a brochure for a timeshare signed by Stan Lee.
Exactly.
Sign right beneath where Stan signed.
Excelsior States. Excelsior. But so now our grand prize winner, the person who's going to be able to come with us to meet Stan Lee on Saturday of the con, is Michelle Hay, who just signed up for an iFanboy membership like several days ago. So there you go. It pays to win. It pays to be a member.
Got to be in it to win it.
You got to be in it to win it. So
Michelle got in just on the deadline.
So congratulations, Michelle. You're going to be, we're going to be meeting up with you at the Comic-Con. You'll come with us when we go, and you can watch a very awkward interview happen.
And Stan Lee forgot his wallet. Can you buy him lunch?
Can you loan me $5? Come on, I created Spider-Man.
Oh, God.
Okay.
Do you make it love 10. Spider-Man?
I don't have... You got... Ron, do you have 10?
I don't have any money. Surely you've read my comics. Pay up. Oh, God. So, congratulations, Michelle. We're looking forward to that. You can see our interview with Stan Lee on the iFanboy video show later in a couple of weeks, so that'll happen.
Stan Lee could use a beer.
We've got other podcasts on iFanboy.com in addition to all the giveaways. And on Monday, we've got a great Don't Miss podcast. That's our podcast where we talk to a creator about a comic book that's coming out this coming week. And this week, we're going to be talking with Marvel writer Fred Van Lente about Chaos War number 1, because I have no clue what it's about, and I want him to tell me. So that's so you can tune in and hear that.
Hercules, I believe. Right?
Something with Hercules, something with the, all I know is that somehow Alpha Flight gets in the mix. So that's what,
Geez.
But
that's that'll burn up the charts.
Yeah, exactly. We also also been doing a ton of Talksplodes. You might have heard like a week and a half ago or 2 weeks ago, we talked to Jim McCann about Return of Dapper Men. This past week, Josh talked to artist Ryan Stegman, who's crazy. next week, Connor and you and some of the gang at iFanboy talked about the Superman Batman Apocalypse movie that just came out, right?
Correct. Me and Paul and Chris Niesman and Ryan Haupt. But then the week after that, Josh will be talking to Scott Snyder about American Vampires. So we got a lot of shows.
So much stuff coming out. Yeah. So definitely you want to make sure you subscribe to all the feeds, but you also want to make sure you subscribe to Tom vs. the Flash, which is, by the way, gripping.
This is the trial. We're right in the middle of a very long story.
The lawyer drama. I've been loving the lawyer drama.
Kids love lawyer drama. They love hearing about, I dropped the manslaughter charge for a murder charge, which I don't think you can just do during the trial. I don't think you're allowed to switch with the charges, like the morning when you show up.
Yeah.
So it would be, I guess it would be more fun in the DC universe to follow like court cases if they could just like randomly switch things.
I can tell you, it was gripping. It was great. It was to hear your descriptions, your succinct descriptions of what the trial was like, had me on the edge of my seat. So,
well, the most exciting thing was I'm actually like a week behind, so I've been catching up, and I have one of the issues.
Oh wow!
And I'm just waiting excitedly to get to that show so I can read along.
I've never done that before. I'm excited.
I know. I'm really excited for it.
Yeah.
I hear
it's during the trial. It's definitely during the trial, so I'm excited about that.
The trial, I've always, previous to doing it, I've always been like, oh, they should reprint that. Now I'm like, yeah. Now that I've reread it for the first time in a long time.
So people should subscribe, Tom vs. the Flash. Just search for it in iTunes or search for it in Google. You can find it. And it's honestly, it's way better than this podcast. So.
And give them the URL again, Tom.
You can go to my blogspot, which is tomversusflash.blogspot.com.
Yeah.
So if you just Google Tom versus Flash, ignore some of the fan fiction. It's not sanctioned.
The slash fiction.
It's awkward, yeah.
Awkward indeed.
And just go to change your search to safe moderate.
And you'll be fine. It'll be fine.
It's not a problem.
I'm a big fan of the Tom Josh slash fiction.
Oh, awkward.
At first it was weird, but then beautifully written.
What's funny, but I'm a much bigger fan of the Tom Rogue Gambit slash fiction, which I think is a different dynamic that I didn't think would work, but it's been good.
Listen, all these things, they're just tools, as long as you're telling a good story.
It's not the characters, it's the story.
If Gambit and Rogue and I are sharing one sleeping bag, it's just a tool to tell a story.
Magic might happen. It's fine.
It's also cold.
It's cold. Yeah.
Conserving body heat.
Dude's got needs.
On that note, New York Comic Con.
Steve Rogers is going to put that on my con list. I'm a sympathizer.
Threesome with mutants.
Uncontrollable needs.
Oh, man.
Leads to deviant behavior.
But I just need to note that I continued going through that superheroes book, and I did find him judging a man for his recreational behavior. He paladin in the cons. He said, "Known womanizer."
Unknown, unlike all those unknown.
Exactly, unlike Hank Pym.
or Hawkeye.
Yeah,
or
fuck.
Anything.
Where's Hank Pym? He didn't raid Hank Pym. He beat his wife.
At all? Hank Pym's not even in the book.
I know. Now I gotta find it. I'm looking it up. Okay, talk about New York Comic Con while I look this up.
New York Comic Con's coming up this weekend, and we'll be there in force. We'll have a booth. Let me tell you where that booth is located. It's booth number 1751. It's right between the Image and Marvel booths, and it is the iFanboy/Graphically booth. And we will be there intermittently, but there will always be somebody there from Graphically to say hi. You can learn about Graphically if you're on Foursquare and you're following Graphically. You can go there and check in. You can get a code for free comics on the app.
Yep.
And maybe even some swag.
So go to foursquare.com/graphically and follow us there.
Yeah, and so that's where we'll be at the booth. We'll be there occasionally. If there are chairs, we'll be there more than occasionally because we're old. And our knees have seen lots of cons. And then there's the big Bergen Street iFanboy party Saturday night, October 9th. Starts at 8 o'clock. Goes till ? It is at Bergen Street Comics, which is at 470 Bergen Street in Brooklyn, New York. You can take the 2 or 3 train right to the corner, right like a few blocks from Javits Center, and then it drops you right at the corner in Brooklyn at the comic shop. It's not that scary. There are directions on ifanboy.com. It's pretty easy. Guest of honor is going to be Jeff Johns and Francis Manapul. It's going to be a Flash theme party. Everyone's going to have to spend the whole time running.
or lifting their shirt.
Flash mob. Yeah, so check it out if you want to hang out with us and Jeff Johns and Francis Manapul. Tom will be there. Ron will be there. Yeah, Josh will be there.
A lot of people.
Molly will be there.
Listen,
the entire crew will be there.
I'll be outside. I'm never actually going to get inside.
Listen, everyone. A lot of people are going to be there. If you go to facebook.com/ifanboy, or you go to ifanboy.com and the New York Comic Con post, there's a link to RSVP for it. Let us know if you're coming. But as it stands now, it looks like a lot of people are coming. So don't feel the need to get there at 8 o'clock. You can filter in as the evening goes. There's some cool places to hang out around the comic book store if it gets too packed. We want everyone to go. We want everyone to have a good time. We want everyone to meet Jeff and Francis and us, and we want to meet you and all stuff like that. But
might be some spillover into the place next door. There's a couple of bars within a block that people we might spill over into.
Be safe out there. So.
Should I have my wallet out when I get off the train? Just so
you should flag people down to ask directions.
Excuse me, Brooklynite. I have $50.
Could you tell me how to get to the comic books?
This is your sequential art store.
Sequential art store. All right. So Hank Pym is in this book, and under prose, multidisciplinary scientific genius. Size-changing powers, flight, insect control, stun gun, miniaturized high-tech arsenal, leadership skills.
All right.
Cons, mental instability, self-esteem issues, obsessive, depressive.
He's brutally honest.
Yeah, but he's also letting him get away with murder. Wife beater. Steve plays favorites. Anyway, so come to the party. We'll talk about Steve Rogers' assessments. I'll have the book with me, and we can laugh at it. No, I'm not going to bring it. I'm just kidding. But anyway.
It might be at the store, though. You can check it out.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. So really excited. And if you didn't buy any books at the con or you're looking to get some books, Bergen Street is a great place to shop. So hopefully you guys will all patron it while you're there and get books for Jeff and Francis to sign and all that stuff. Yes. So it'll be a good time. So looking forward to it. It's going to be a blast.
I will be there at 5 minutes to ?
Yes, exactly.
Don't look me in the eye.
Yep. Never look Connor in the eye. That's the thing. All right. So, yeah, come to the party. It'll be a great time. And if you need information on the party or our booth location or any of the fun stuff about New York Comic Con, go to ifanboy.com. There's a whole post there all about New York Comic Con, as well as Josh's Pick of the Week review, which I'm sure was very good. I didn't read it. But based on Connor and Tom's description of the book, it probably was a great review. And there's all this other great writing. I'm kidding. I read it. And there's all the other great writing on the site. All the other great writers that are at iFanboy, you definitely want to check them out, see what they're doing there, and you can go check out Word Balloon, which comes out every Tuesday, Thursday ish with all the great conversations with Brubaker recently, Tony Harris. Good times there. Go to ifanboy.com/about to see all of our social network links. You can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/ifanboy. Last week was our Red Hulk video show, which I think went over really well. I thought it was really good. I don't know if you watched it.
No one got too angry about it.
Yeah, we thought it would be a little more decisive. So
decisive.
Whatever.
It was extremely decisive. You won.
So there, a little announcement about the video show. There is not going to be a video show this coming week, and we're posting a post up on ifanboy.com so you can read more about it. But we just want to announce that we are, as ifanboy, have grown, and as you've seen us grow over the past year, we're teaming up Graphically, doing a lot more stuff on the site. We're kind of sad to say that we've now outgrown our relationship with Revision 3. So the Red Hulk show will be the last episode that's distributed by Revision 3. There's a full post. You can read all about it. Nothing but goodwill between Revision 3 and us. Hey, I worked there. I mean, it's not going to be, you know, like, it's not no hard
work. Awkward.
It's, basically, we got to a point where we've, you know, we kind of did all we could. We've been there for 3 years. We've been working with them very closely, and their directions we want to take the video show in, directions they want to go in. So we figured now is a good time to split and part ways. So we're going to take a week or two off. We haven't quite figured out exactly. It's going to be a short hiatus, and we'll be back with all of our New York Comic Con coverage this October. So stay tuned. We're not going to stop doing great videos for you. In fact, we might do more and different kind of videos and stuff like that. So it should be
more
good.
More graphic?
More graphic, that's for
sure. They turned down the Lost Girls show.
Yeah, that was really the point. Alan Moore, yeah, no. But
Connor's boudoir moment.
We had the walk after that. That's what it was.
I did an anthology segment with just a robe, and they decided that was just too much.
Too much. But so big thank you to Revision 3 for the years of support. We wouldn't have a video show probably without them. So everybody still continue to watch the great shows of Revision 3, like App Judgment. And look forward, and we'll probably be working with Revision 3 in different ways down the road. I mean, we're still great friends, so all will be good. So lovely.
Yeah. Now you can email us at contact@fanboy.com, call our voicemail line at 888-FANBOYS, which is 326-2697 with any questions, comments, concerns. Make them good. Keep the voicemails around 30, 45 seconds. Tell us who you are and where you're from. That's for the emails, too. We like to know where you're from. I want your name
is. So we can find you.
Yeah. Well, we can
and
find
if,
that.
If you like these guys, write them a review. It doesn't cost you anything, just your time. And if you have time to listen to the show, you have time to write a review. Let's face it. Just do it. And tell your friends. Threaten them, tell your mom to listen to it, beg your mom to listen to it.
Please
whatever
listen.
It takes. Please listen. Just spread the word about them. They need it.
And Tom vs. Flash as well.
Yeah, and write a review for me as well. Write a review for me, and then write a review for them.
Or it nourishes Tom's fragile ego.
Listen, I'm a mess. If you've never met me before, wait until you get a hold of me in person.
Wait till you get a load of me. Oh, it's gonna be fun. I can't wait for some of the awkward moments on the con floor, Tom. Those are my favorite.
I'm like
Tom's.
A magnet.
Yep. All right, so we're gonna have a great time at New York Comic Con. We'll be back next week. And so until then, I'm Ron.
I'm Connor.
I'm Tom.
You okay? Okay, big guy.
Yeah, I'm fine. I'll pull it together.